I've appreciated your work and have had so many friends that you've championed their music, and I was so tickled to see a new release out of your music, and I was just blown away by hearing this lovely piano work and some very romantic songs. Is it a challenge to find time for composing? We know that Mahler, you know, would try to compose during the summers, but you're busy in Aspen these days during the summer.
That's true.
Do you have that same sort of problem of finding time to compose?
Oh, yeah, that's a big challenge. It's always difficult to find enough time. For me, if I can get an hour here or 2 hours there, it's not enough to get something started. If I have a week to get things going, I can start to use shorter amounts of time, but I have trouble initiating something without that opportunity to really focus and have the chance to be away from all the other demands and considerations and distractions. And so that's an ongoing challenge.
One of your works, Clothfield, not only had you performed at the piano and had composed the music, but were actually one of the artists that was moving. And I just am sort of blown away by that. I mean, it's not enough that you're a conductor and composer and teacher and pianist, but to me, that's just a wonderful sort of juggling act. Not that they're not all interconnected, but that's astounding.
Well, that was a big stretch, and I was lucky to be working with Laurie Stallings, who knows, she's had a lot of experience with amateurs and knows how to include someone with no skill whatsoever, which is a description I think I fit in terms of the choreography of that work, into the mix of things. So, and nevertheless, it felt very challenging to be moving with these incredibly skilled, disciplined, technically able moving artists and try and interact with them was a big challenge.
This new release has a beautiful set of songs, and I know you've worked with Jessica in other performances and recordings. How was this to put together? And to me, they're just so incredibly little worlds in themselves. I so enjoy these songs.
Oh, I really appreciate that. I had pretty much finished the first two many, many years ago in 1990, and I didn't know Jessica at that point. The first time I had the opportunity to go to the Hermitage in Manasota Key, Florida, where I did much of this work, I had intended to work on the piano piece, or pieces, depending on how you look at it. And just before I left, I saw those two Hölderlin settings from decades ago and thought, oh, these are perfect for Jessica. So I took them with me thinking maybe I'd fool around with those two. It occupied all my time, and I became even more and more excited about finishing that set, because that third song, which is the larger one, substantially different in many ways from the first two, was always meant to be that. And there was something about imagining Jessica singing those first two songs that propelled me into working on the third one. And I couldn't get out of that to get on to the piano pieces until it was done, because I was just sure it was perfect for her. I didn't mention any of this to her until after it was done. And then I said, how would you feel about recording these? And she was such an amazing quick study and quickly integrated them and took them over, and I started learning about them from her singing of them. It was just a great gift to have that happen so unexpectedly.
They're real gems, and I imagine you're going to get some requests for this, because it's very delightful.
Oh, thanks so much.
Oh,
I'm just, again, sort of blown away that the elements are very different and approached differently. You know, there's a great lyricism in the Earth songs, and there's a real fun sort of almost jazzy sense to the air, and water is incredibly thoughtful and different than any of these. And the last one, I imagine you might even have needed to practice. It's so, there's a lot of notes in that last movement. Tell us a little bit about putting this piano piece together, because this is a real sonata. This is a big work.
Yeah, I was always... the water movement actually came first substantially before the other three. And it was always meant to have its companions. And I think one of the things that took me so long to get this worked out is I was very intent on linking the elements without sacrificing the need to make them very distinct and different from each other. So for me, it was a matter of finding materials that were able to be variable enough to transform into even their opposites. Things that are very much related between the elements that I don't think sound the same. And that, for me, was very difficult to achieve. And I think one of the reasons it took me so long. And in the end, I feel very happy about the fact that those things are in there without being obvious. For example, the Debussy quotation that comes in and out of the water music is in a little section called Stream in Earth, it appears. So that links it there. Or the fact that the bass melody that is the source of the variations in the Earth movement is the structural underpinning, the same. It's a 46-note row. It's a 12-tone row that then is turned upside down, then upside down and backwards, and then backwards, which was my way of making the circle of time in the Earth movement. And that same 46-note row is the structural underpinning of fire. So that link happens. Or the fact that the descending minor thirds in water become ascending minor thirds in fire. Or the fact that the descending minor ninth that is characteristic in water actually appears in the spark section of Earth, and so on. Maybe I'm going on too long about this,
no.
But there's all those kinds of connections that were interwoven that I wanted to have be there without jeopardizing the distinguishing affect of each of the elements. And that was a big challenge for me. And I'm so happy that I finally was able to sort of find those solutions where the technical or compositional crafty intent of mine didn't jeopardize the affective quality of the music.
And there's such a lovely poetry sort of, talking about, whether it's magic and tarot cards and Jungian thought and the idea, obviously the elements have been around forever, since the Earth.
Right.
And that, there have been so many ways to look at it that I love that there's, you write about having sort of these multiple inspirations, and yet there are literally figures that are related in all of these.
And then I, because of a lot of that imagery that comes from many thinkers, many disciplines, many sources, there were various things culled from that that I wanted in there as well without disrupting the actual musical result. Like in the C section of Fire, I was determined to have a distant trumpet, and it was because of the tarot card that's associated with the Hebrew letter Shin, which is the letter that is elemental fire. And the tarot card that's associated with that letter has an angel coming out of the sky blowing a trumpet. Determined to have this distant trumpet in the middle, and when you start getting interested in doing things like that, they have to organically find their way into coming out of the musical musical requirements, so to speak. And it's been so gratifying to me that they don't stick out as that those various things that I was intent on weaving into the fabric don't stick out as being anomalous.
We look forward to a lot more. Is there anything the pencil scratchings or ink is drying on that you could share with us? Is anything you're working on currently composing?
There are a number of things I'd like to have happen next, but I'm just thrilled that you've taken an interest in this. It's exhilarating to have it out in the world because it took so long. Thanks for taking an interest in it.